Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Tuesday, October 25th. Sorry I wasn't on the air last week. Had some a major lifetime function to attend to. Pardon the sound, I'm just adjusting the microphone here. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Glad to be back. Did miss the Kansas round of the chase, which Kevin Harvick took home the checkered flag, and that moving on to the round of eight. This past weekend was no different, but we did have a little extra action. Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup Series hitting the longest speedway on the NASCAR circuit. The Talladega Super Speedway. Last race of the year for the restrictor plates. And also in action, the NHRA out of the Texas Nationals for their fourth race in their countdown to the championship. That leaves two. It leaves Pomona. Let me just check the other one there. And one more out in the Midwest, I think. Strip in Las Vegas. How did I miss that one? Vegas, a prime area. Figure you have all the casinos, you got Las Vegas Motor Speedway. NASCAR runs, this will be the Toyota Nationals come up, so you can get tickets and all there. Check in with the NHRA. Like I said, been a busy weekend back. Last weekend I was attending my 40th class reunion from high school. Doesn't appear to have been that long ago that they were donning the cap and gowns in the middle of June, saying goodbye to our classmates, wondering what was going, life was going to bring us onto the in the years ahead. Oh, I knew what my destiny was. In the fall of that year, I joined the military. I signed up in March, so I knew what I was doing for the next four. Didn't know what was going to happen in those next four, but I knew what I was going to be doing. Everybody else, some people followed, did what I did and went in the military. Others, so we all got together and it was a weekend event, not just a one-day thing, which I think worked out well. A place called Westy's Irish Pub in Wildwood. Of course, a lot of the food there wasn't nowhere close to Irish. It was more Italian, a lot of pastas and meatballs and sausage. But that's neither here nor there. I had a great DJ, Patty Doyle, son of one of my classmates, actually. Hard to believe he's like, actually a brother of one of my classmates' husband, one of his younger brothers, who music was good. Of course, I was indulging myself in gin and tonics all night. It's one of the things I can handle without a problem. I had a friend come down who was the best man at my wedding. He graduated in 78. We expanded it to class, but through class 75 through 78. So after that, we went to my room at the Champagne Island Resort. It was kind of the hotel right across the street from the venue, and there was also a happy hour in the bar downstairs on Fridays. That's why it was a Friday-Saturday thing, and with the main event Saturday night. And a good time was had by all. Nobody I talked with talked about politics. We kind of steered away from that, but it was more of reminiscing, catching up, and imbibing, which is pretty much what my class does a lot. Did a lot of partying back in the day. And one advantage we had that a lot of people nowadays don't have, like, they lowered the federal drinking age to 18 years old, so you can go into a bar at the age of 18 with proper ID, of course, unless you looked older like I did. And we're able to drink. Drunken driving rules were nothing like they were today. And car knew the way home. I don't think we had anybody in our class die from drunk driving. I could be wrong, but at least not while we were in school. Of course, that's since been changed, and then now it's points and things like that. So, but anyway, back to the weekend events out at the Texas Motorplex for the AAA Texas Fall Nationals. Weekend 4. Of the countdown to the championship, 2 to go. Again, out in Las Vegas, and then the next one wraps up in a few weeks out in Pomona. And then they have their banquet the next night, so. Anyway, in the Top Fuel division, Antron Brown and Steve Torrence headed off to the finals. Antron, the number one qualifier. Torrence qualified at number 7, so they had to battle their way through some tougher things. Antron did round 1 against C. Karamensens. That's a tough name to pronounce. With a 370, which is pretty darn quick, 325 mile an hour. He was in the 370s all night. A 370 is best time of the night. Get up against Doug Coletta, who is a championship contender. And he 372 to 376. Then up against J.R. Todd, a 373 to a 384. That wasn't as close as the rest of the ones, and then up against Torrence. Torrence had his first round against number 10, Clay Milliken. It wasn't even close to the 371. Good time there. A lot of 37s. So for Steve Torrence as well, going all the way through to the finals. And up against Leah Pritchett, the number two qualifier. She wound with she drew Scott Palmer. And they both had 3.9s. And then Leah had a 4.17, 4.17, and better reaction time, an 0.22 reaction time. That was good for Leah, but the ET wasn't good enough to beat Torrance, who had a 3.73. And then another 3.73 with a 7 up against Sean Langdon. Langdon with the better reaction time, just didn't have the quickness of the car. And Torrance goes on to face Antron Brown. Now, here's a battle that was so close that you had to see the slow-mo and wait for the results to determine who's the winner. Because they both got off the tree pretty quick. Antron with an 061, with Torrance with an 064 reaction. And then both rocketed down the 1,000 feet. Antron turning at 374 with a 4. And here's how close it was. Steve Torrance in a losing cause to Antron Brown at a 375 even. So we're looking at 100th, actually not even that close, 6/1,000ths of a second to determine who takes the Wally in the Top Fuel event out of Texas. So Antron's fighting for that number one spot to win the championship, and it's not like he hasn't been there before, so that's something he's used to. In the funny car division, former champ Matt Hagen up against current points leader Ron Capps battling for the title. For the Wally in the final. And here's the road they both had to take. Hagen round one against number four. Hagen, the number four qualifier, against John Bojek, who's the 13 qualifier. He turned a 388 with an 8 to Bojek's 402 at 3, just not quick enough. And then in round two against Courtney Force, who not only didn't have a good time, also red lit. In other words, she jumped the gun on the start, trying to get an off-the-tree advantage, which kind of set her. There's more of a disqualification. So Hagen with 389, only a 1/100th of a second off his first round time. Then he goes up against Robert Height, Courtney's teammate, John Ford Racing, who was doing pretty good on his own. Height had an issue with his run, turning a 468 to Hagen's 389 with a 9. So Hagen at 389, it was pretty even all the way through the ladder. Ron Capps, on the other hand, up against he qualified number 7. So he didn't get any bonus points for their final qualification. You do get bonus points in qualifying if you're in the top 3 qualifiers. So up against Tim Wilkerson in round 1. Then up against Fast Jack Beckman in round 2 with Wilkerson with his 385 with a 9, and Wilkerson 527. Had a little traction issue there. Usually when you smoke the tires, it costs you a little bit, and that's enough. Beckman, on the other hand, a 393 with an 8. Actually had a better ET than Ron Capps. It's 396 with a 4. Here's the difference. The 029 off the light for Ronnie Capps gives him the whole shot victory in round 2 over Beckman, who had an 077. 5/100ths of a second stomping the throttle. Translated into crossing the finish line first, even though you were 4/10ths of a second slower. So it's not who runs the quickest time, it's who crosses the finish line first, and that played into his hands as well. Into the semifinals against Del Horsham, another close one. Ronnie caps with 4/1,000ths of a second slower with a 390 with a 4 to Del Horsham's 390 even. Again, here's the difference. 4/100ths of a second off the tree quicker with an 045 for caps to an 085 for Horsham. Set the stage for another hole shot win. That's two in a row for caps in the semifinals. So can he make 30, time the charm, and take home the Wally? I don't know. Up against Matt Hagen, the fourth quickest qualifier on the day. Hagen with a 391 with a 3. Caps with a 390 with a 6. The big Caps took it straight up. No, he's lost by a whole shot. Matt Hagen with an 038 off the light. Ron Caps with an 064 off the light. Gave Hagen that 13-1, that 6/7/1,000ths of a second difference, but he was able to cross the finish line first and take the Wally. In the pro stock round, one of my favorite rounds where the drivers actually shift the car, it was Drew Skillman and Alex Lachlan in the finals. The two top qualifiers on the weekend were teammates Jason Line and Greg Anderson. Usually one of them is battling for the crown this year. And neither of them actually made it past. Actually, Line didn't make it past the second round, and Anderson made it to the semifinals and losing to Alex Lachlan. Jason Line lost to Drew Skillman in round two, so that kind of gave Greg Anderson a chance to close the gap on his teammate. But anyway, Gilman, who used to be with Elite Motorsports, went off on his own team and seems to be doing pretty well this year. Ninth qualifier up against Chris McGahey in round one. Beat him by a tenth of a second. 6:63 to 6:74 on the round two against points leader Jason Line. A Line with a 6:63, Skillman with a 6:64, but here's the difference. 0:16 reaction for Skillman, 0:43 reaction for Jason Line. Whole shot win for Skillman into the semifinals against Shane Gray. Skillman with his best reaction time of the night with an 0:13 again in the semifinals with a 6:67. Shane Gray, 2/100ths off the tree, slower reaction with a 6:68. Still wasn't quick enough to pull a hole shot because he didn't have the reaction time. Setting up the stage. Alex Lachlan, on the other hand, went up against Jeg Coughlin, who was the 14th qualifier. Jeg Coughlin, of course, of Elite Motorsports. The only reason why I say that is the defending Pro Stock champ who is having a tough time this season, Erica Ender-Stevens, wound up qualifying 15th. Vincent Nobile, on the other hand, wound up qualifying 6th. He's the other teammate, but he's in a Chevy there in Dodges. Matter of fact, that was Erica's 2015 championship car he's running. But then, that's neither here nor there. Lachlan taking Coughlin a 662 to a 665. Reaction time went in Coughlin's favor, 048 to 076, but the quicker ET didn't matter. Wasn't a whole shot. Car just had more power. On the round two against Shane Tucker, an 063 reaction to an 051 against the Lachlan with a quicker ET with a 666 with an 8. The Shane Tucker 670 with a 9. It was only a couple of thousandths slower, but it was enough to make a difference. Semifinals against Greg Anderson. Anderson with an 062, turned a 665 with a 9 in the quarter mile. Alex Lachlan with an 049 with a 663, beating Anderson by 0.02. Moving on to the finals against Drew Skelman. Alex Lachlan was in a tough battle all year. He maintained a top 10 position for most of the season and was looking to make the countdown, but he fell a little short. He was able to parlay that into a good run this weekend up against Drew Skelman. Alex Lachlan for the 054 reaction and a 670 with an 8 to Drew Skelman, who launched off the light with an 031 and a 666 with a 1 ET, taking the Wally in the pro stock round. So the standings as they sit right now. Antron Brown has a 150-point lead over Doug Coletta. Sean Langdon, third, 172 back. Brittany Force in fourth, 191 back. Steve Torrance, Tony Schumacher, J.R. Todd, Leah Pritchett, Richie Crampton, and Clay Milliken round out the top 10. In the funny card of division, Ronnie Capps has a 64-point lead over Tommy Johnson Jr. Matt Hagan, with his win, is only 88 back, but he has two races to do it. It's getting kind of tight. Johnson has the closest margin, but Ronnie Capps might have a shot at taking the funny car crown this year. We'll just have to wait and see. Cap's been consistent all year. Fast Jack Beckman is 431 back, and then Del Worsham, the defending champ, Robert Height, John Force, Courtney Force, Tim Wilkerson, and Alexis DeJoria rounding out the top 10. In the pro stock division, Jason Lyons still maintains a 26-point lead over teammate Greg Anderson. That Anderson gaining a little ground, so there's going to be a tight battle here. Vincent Nobile, 114 back, is third. And I don't think he's got a shot to get a crown, but he's made great strides to get where he's at, which is a good thing going in. We'll see if he stays with the Chevy or switches to Dodge next year with the rest of his team, because Shane Gray in fourth spot, Bo Butner fifth, Drew Skelman, who won the sixth, and Chris McGahey seventh, all are driving Chevys. The bottom three in the top 10, Alan Johnson, Jake Coughlin, and Erica Enders, are driving Dodges. Erica says last time we talked to her, she needed about 40 more horsepower. In the pro stock motorcycle, I didn't give you the results on that one. I wanted to save some time for Talladega. Eddie Krawick holds a 17-point lead over Andrew Hines. Gerald Savoie, who actually won the pro stock motorcycle Wally this past weekend, 49 back in third. Angel Sampe is fourth. 60 back. Is he still got a shot with two races to go? Chip Ellis is fifth. Ellie Tonglet sixth. Seventh, Corey Reed. Hector Arana Sr. eighth. Matt Smith ninth. And Hector Arana Jr. is 10th. And a couple of the other ladies in the Pro Stock Motorcycle Division, Karen Stouffer and Melissa Serber. So that's three in the division. Angie Smith used to run Pro Stock Motorcycle, but she's not running this year, so I haven't seen her name listed at all. So as they head on out to Vegas this coming weekend, get your tickets at NHRA.com and if you're in the Vegas area or planning a vacation, go out and enjoy the race. Don't waste all your money at the casinos. Camping World Truck Series at Talladega, one of the big events there. Grant Enfinger, driver of the number 24 Plug Phone Chevrolet. Led five times for 45 of the 94 laps, so that's almost half. Another couple of laps he would have led it. Defeats teammate in the ARCA series, Grant Spencer Gallagher, driving the number 23. I guess they're teammates in the truck series as well. One's driving 24, the other's driving 23. Tim Peters taking the third spot. Rico Abreu fourth. Ben Kennedy fifth. Christopher Bell is sixth. Johnny Sauter seventh. Ryan Truex eighth. Ninth, William Byron rounds out the top 10. As we look at the championship run for the Camping World Truck Series, the round of six. Those in it are William Byron. He's a rookie this year. Christopher Bell, another rookie in the number two spot. Timothy Peters, fifth. Ben Kennedy and Johnny Sauter. So that kicks off the round of six with Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix coming up. So let's find out who makes the final four for the EcoBoost 200 in Homestead, Miami. So we have race winner Grant Enfinger talking about his Camping World Truck Series win.
Here in Talladega, he was looking at the video. Obviously, you've had some success here at this racetrack, as you've had in restrictor plate tracks throughout your career. How much confidence does that give you coming into this weekend?
That gives a lot of confidence. You know, knowing that we've won here last year is recent. That we know how to do this, and I like figure racing. For a while, I didn't like it, but as you start to kind of learn on what to do inside the car and the moves to make, and you get a fast shell pencil four like we got again, it makes it a lot more fun. You can kind of play that chess match that everyone talks about.
Can this race still be fun knowing elimination is at stake?
Of course. I always have fun. Are you kidding me? I enjoy everything I do, so it's a fun opportunity to be in the situation that we are. Our team is ready for the situation, and I was saying last week, man, I was wishing we could race like Monday after Kansas. So I'm getting antsy, sitting around getting ready to race.
You can tell Joey Logano would race every single day if he could, Dave.
Like every year since 1980, there has been an Earnhardt in the field at Talladega. So when Uncle Junior
was put on the sideline this season. Jeffrey Earnhardt, grandson of the late Dale Earnhardt, and his people put together a deal to put the outfit together, put the colors together, and get an Earnhardt in race here at Talladega. How excited were you that this was put together?
I was really excited. You know, I didn't have a anyway.
There was Spencer Gallagher, Grant Enfinger, taking the checkered flag and back to that truck series. See where Jeffrey Earnhardt finished up. It's good to see Jeffrey. Used to have him on the show a lot. So actually, he was in the cup race. Wasn't even in the truck race. So I don't know what brought that on. Unless it was something they had a interesting thing. Travis Quapple from Make Motorsports finished 13th in the number 50. The only reason why I'm putting his name out there is he has been on the show, and Tracy and Mark, the owners of Make Motorsports, are friends of mine that I met years ago at Dover, and always looking to put them on. They've had actually a pretty decent year this year. But anyway, there were 7 cautions for 33 laps, so that's a third of the race there. It's Talladega. 15 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Cole Custer was on the pole, but wound up finishing 29th, involved in a wreck. Weren't too many cars. There was one wreck that had involved a bunch of cars, but not all of them were out. That was lap 61. Involved the 00 of Cole Custer, the 02, the 05, the 07, the 25, 9, 17, 19, 29, 41, 78, 86, and 98. A lot of vehicles in that one. That was the big one of the day. Everything else was fairly minor, but pretty good race there. Talladega, restricted plate racing, whether you like it or hate it. There is tight groups. There is drafting. There is wild wrecks, but it does come in pretty exciting to watch as opposed to some of those race events where it gets a little snoozy, as I like to put it. Anyway, going from the truck series to the main event of the weekend, Martin Truex captured a pole, looking for his chance to move on to the round of 8. Fairly good day. Early on, he led once for 2 laps, and then at lap 41, his motor let go, putting him the first one out of the race. I mean, running that Joe Gibbs Toyota is one of those things you don't really see that often, so it was kind of weird. Brad Keselowski looking for a good day as well. Had an engine let go in his number 2 Ford, so he had a top car and a top contender car with Joe Gibbs power. Of course, the Penske car is a Roush Yates engine who does all the Fords, which is kind of ironic considering Roush Racing or Roush Fenway Racing, who fields their own team, hasn't done as well with the talent that they should have. So there's something missing there because you would expect Biffle, Trevor Bayne, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. to do a little better than they have been. But that's neither here nor there. Brad Kay did have a bad day, which kind of hurt because those that needed to do good to move into that next round had some rough the things. Of course, Jimmy Johnson winning the first race of the round of 12, moving on, and then Kevin Harvick last week in Kansas taking the checkered. They were already locked in, so no matter what they did, they didn't have to worry about it. They didn't try to get involved in anything. But when all was said and done, a Ford broke the Chevy run. Joey Logano, the other Penske Ford, powered by Roush Yates, led once for 45 laps. Wound up taking the checkered flag and locking in his spot in the round of eight. Brian Scott in the Goodies Ford, that's Richard Petty Motorsports, took the second place. Denny Hamlin, the first Gibbs car of the bunch in the top 10, taking third. Kurt Busch wound up fourth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. fifth. Sixth is Kyle Larson. Kevin Harvick seventh. Eighth, Eric Almirola, another Richard Petty Motorsports Ford. So you have an ninth, Austin Dillon. 10th, A.J. Allmendinger. Chase Elliott, who was running up front, he led five times for nine laps, couldn't get it done. The big lap leader of the day was Brad Keselowski, but nine times for 90 laps, but wound up 38th when his motor let go. Six cautions for 25 laps, no big ones actually yesterday, just a couple little small ones. One gathering up the few with Biffle. And there was a threesome. As a matter of fact, I could find that one. I think that gathered. It was the cautions there. It was the 13 of Casey Mears, Greg Biffle, and the 83 of Jeffrey Earnhardt. And then later on, Chase Elliott had some issues that messed up his day. But he did wind up 12th, but he needed to finish higher. But he didn't. But the biggest, the toughest finish of the day was had to be Martin Truex Jr. finishing 40th after starting on the pole when a motor let go. But there was an incident involving Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick, a couple of teammates. At the end of the race, where Harvick, went in and looks like he threw a punch at Kurt Busch. There was a little trading paint going on, I guess, during the last few laps. And then on the cool down lap, something else happened. And I guess, Kevin Harvick didn't like it and wound up expressing his concern with the. But anyway, resetting for the round of eight, Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, and the Busch brothers, Kurt, Ben, Kyle, make it to the round of eight. And then they head to Martinsville. We do have some audio of the race winner, Joey Logano, taking in the press conference, taking the checkered flag in the Alabama 500. Here's what Joey had to say.
Going to wrap up our media availabilities for today's Hellman's 500 here at Talladega Super Speedway. We're joined by our race winner, Joey Logano, the driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Joins your second win in 22nd, top 10 finish this year. And more importantly, this win moves you on to the round of eight in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. So talk a little bit about that.
It feels really good. You know, this morning you kind of wake up and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, this is the first time in this chase format that I've come into Talladega without a win to be locked into the next round. So the feeling of the weekend is definitely a lot different. You know, you're not locked into the next one. So felt really good to be able to go out there and you know,
work under the pressure that was on us this week and ultimately be able to succeed and come home with a victory. So what a special special win. Winning here at Talladega is always special. It's a lot of fun, and you never know you got it until you're coming off it. Or you don't even know you got it even off a turn four. It's so many things that can happen before it's our finish line. So it's nice to be able to move on to the next round. That was a great feeling for about, I don't know, 20 minutes, and now we're thinking about Martinsville already and how we're going to go out there and try to get ourselves to Homestead to win the championship.
All right, we'll open up to questions for Joey. Raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic. We'll start over here with Jeff in the middle.
Joey, even though you won all three races in this round last year, in some ways it seems like you're in better position this year because you won, you're going through the next round, and you haven't made anybody mad. do you think that will actually, I mean, seriously.
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but that's funny.
will that make a difference? I mean, does that put you in better position this year than last year?
Well, I hope so. I guess, you know, I mean, really, in all honesty, you're back to a wash, right, when you move on to the next round. So I feel like this team's got a lot of momentum, you know, and I think we had a lot of momentum at this point last year, but I think we got an equal amount. If you look at it, Charlotte, yeah, we had a tire go out, but we had a fast race car there. We finished third last weekend and win this weekend. We're going to a racetrack that we've proven to have speed before. We haven't won there yet, but we've had speed there, speed that's capable of winning. So I feel good about our chances. I feel good about where we're at in this thing that to be able to move on. So, yeah, we got speed. We got momentum. We got confidence.
And there's Joey Logano commenting on winning the race. And, of course, the question brought to him, after winning three races in the round of 12 last season, going into Martinsville, when they said he didn't make anybody mad this time around, it was Joey Logano who ended Matt Kenseth's chances of advancing when they got into it. And, of course, Kenseth did repay Logano at Martinsville, causing him to finish in, I could actually tell you right now, causing him to finish down, driving a beat-up race car. So, matter of fact, I'm looking for it. Look for it. Here we go, 37. Not a good finish for a guy that actually started on the pole. But, that being said, taking the checkered flag that year was Jeff Gordon, which moved him into the finals on his final year of competition for a championship. Actually, he retired from driving last season, going into the Fox broadcast booth. So, and of course, stepping in for Dale Earnhardt Jr. when Dale had the concussion problems. So, we know what happened there. Jamie McMurray, a good run for him this. Denny Hamlin, Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished fourth. Of course, he's not driving the rest of the year. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Newman, Kevin Harvick, Casey Kane, and Tony Stewart rounded out the top 10 in race one of the round of eight last year, which was November 1st. This year it'll be October the 30th, so. And the way the things shift from time to time. Now, basing that on this year's run, it was a hell of a run for Kyle Busch, who right now is the bottom of the round of eight, meaning he had to do it on points. He did not run that well, sufficiently enough to get in the upper echelon, but he did make it on points. But he's going to have to do something. He took the win this past April, leading five times for 352 of the 400 laps, which is pretty impressive considering it's a half-mile paperclip-shaped track. So that being said, we'll have to see who goes into that Of course, A.J. Allmendinger, Kyle Larson was third, Austin Dillon fourth, 10th, Brad Kay, Carl Edwards sixth, Brian Vickers seventh, who is not running this year. He was in the Tony Stewart car. Stewart out for a while with injuries. Paul Menard was eighth, Jimmy Johnson was ninth, Ryan Newman was in the top 10. Speaking of good runs for somebody, Brian Scott, who's not in the chase at all, in the number 44 Goodies Ford, taking the second place in this is what Brian had to say afterwards.
We are going to continue with our media availabilities for today's Hellman's 500 here at Talladega Super Speedway. We are joined by our second place finisher, Brian Scott, the driver of the number 44, Goodies Ford. Brian, your best career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series finish. Talk a little bit about that in those final couple laps after the restart.
It was just a solid day for the number 44 Goodies Ford. We had a team meeting before the race. We knew that we were going to have to be perfect. We were going to have no mistakes on pit road. Going to have a fast forward, keep good track position all day, and try to make friends throughout the race so they'd work with us at the end. And our game plan really just was executed really well. You guys did a great job on pit road. We had a really solid car. You know, Roush's engines were amazing today. Able to show our speed to a lot of the field, and when it came down to the finish or the restart there at the end, lucky enough to have Denny Hamlin and some guys work with us to give us an opportunity at the win.
Great wheel.
And that was Brian Scott, second place finisher. Denny Hamlin took the third place finish and wound up in a tie. That's right, a tie in points with Austin Dillon. So that came down to a tiebreaker for that bubble spot in the countdown. And due to a tiebreaker, Denny Hamlin makes the round of eight, eliminating Austin Dillon, who had a decent year this year, but he survived on points throughout the chase and was eliminated. So that eliminated Truex, Keselowski, Chase Elliott, and Austin Dillon. And your round of eight is Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch. It all kicks off again in Martinsville. That race, of course, not too far from my broadcast position here in southwestern Virginia. Martinsville, a little more central in southern Virginia, for the Goodies Fast Relief 500 laps on short track action that will be at 1 p.m. NBC Sportsnet will be broadcasting the event. Of course, the final three will be broadcast on NBC regular network. So check your local affiliate. You don't need a cable or satellite channel. You can watch it on free TV from Texas, Phoenix, and Miami, or Homestead, Miami, actually. So 1 p.m., and if you're on the road and can't watch, MRN or Sirius XM radio. So personally, I got the Sirius XM, it was Sirius when I got it, and they merged. And you pop on the NASCAR channel, you could drive across the country without having to search in for different stations for the MRN feed. But that's my choice. Not everybody has to make that. I do have a vehicle without it. So fortunately, there are a couple of stations on either side of me that will pick up the MRN feed. Now, When they go to Texas, that is a Bruton Smith-owned track, so they will run the PRNV, which is Performance Radio Network, Racing or Racing Network. I know, I've got to see if I can get a hold of Steve Richards, a friend of mine who's a broadcaster who handles the Dale Jr. podcasts. I might make a special broadcasting change just to accommodate him, because he's actually does his work for the Dirty Mo podcast with Dale Jr. on Tuesdays. So, being as we go live, it's a little hard to get him on, but I could tape a special spot and I could do that. Upcoming, I've been trying to land this guest for quite some time. Somebody who lived in, actually, where I used to live in. And we missed each other by a week. She has her debut album release, concert, and party in Philly. And my sister got to go and actually meet this young lady who sings with an angelic voice. Her name is Doreen Taylor. She's going to be joining us. I've been trying to book her for a while, but with all her work with the album and the release and the media stuff that she's been doing, it's kind of like been tough to nail her down. But I nailed her down for Tuesday, November 8th show. So I'll be plugging that one pretty good because, you know, it's the day before my birthday. So don't forget to tune in. Check out my Facebook page and all that. Okay, my picks for Martinsville this coming week. As I was looking at the results of the past couple races, I'm trying to think of who I like to see in it. Of course, the standings run a little bit different. He had Brian Vickers in seventh spot filling in for Tony Stewart, who was recovering from back injury. Of course, Stewart's last year as a competitive driver in the Sprint Cup Series. He's retiring after this year and focusing his efforts as team owner and track owner and of course, he's going to run some dirt tracks. Knowing Tony, he can't stay out of a car. So Vickers was filling in for him at the time, and Stewart did come back and make the chase, won a race, and finished in the top 30 in points. And he was eliminated in the first round, but he did get there. Would have been great to see smoke there. But just as Gordon did, making the final four, winning this race last year, to have a shot at one last championship before hanging up the helmet. But he's already has one as an owner, so he's looking for a second one two as an owner, because his last Sprint Cup Series championship was in his own car. He was the first one to win it. He beat Carl Edwards that year on tiebreakers. Wound up winning because they did not go to the elimination format. Tony Stewart won the race, and it came down to a tiebreaker because they were tied in points that year. But after seeing what I saw this past year and what I've noticed happen in Martinsville, closest one who led the second most laps last year was Matt Kenseth. Kenseth not in the chase. Kyle Busch in it. I think he's going to be focused this year. He took all the points last year, leading laps, lead the most laps, bonus points for the win. So leading, that's five total, giving him a total of 45 points. It used to be 48, but with NASCAR only fielding 40 this year. It eliminates a lot of the starting parkers and three extra points. Time since I've been watching the sport that they've done that. And I'm going to have to go with Kyle Busch. And just as a backup, maybe Joey Logano. But my key this week is going to be Kyle Busch. He wants to make it to the round of four. So we'll see what happens coming Sunday. Should be a great day. I said upcoming shows. We'll be back with you all next week live. Sorry again for the week off last week. Hope you all didn't miss me too bad. I said I'd be back. I kind of warned you all. I couldn't put together enough of a show for one later in the week. So you can tune in next Tuesday at noon here on blogtalkradio.com. Listen live. I could have thrown out a thing for calls, but I will diligently book a guest for next week. And then, of course, the week after will be Doreen Taylor. I got a lot to talk to her about, being she put me off for so long, and she's been doing a lot, and a lot of her background. I want to introduce her to our audience, because we have to plan the off-season programming. I might change the date and time for the off-season. We'll see how that goes. Probably, maybe, if I don't stay on Tuesday afternoons, I might move it to Sunday nights. Who knows, maybe I'll have be able to get Kristen Lee to rejoin me as a co-host. I think she'd appreciate that. I will get in contact with her. But anyway, like I said, I'm picking Kyle Busch this week for Martinsville. Tune in next week. We'll have a wrap-up and results. Let's give you the schedule. Martinsville, we'll have the Truck Series again and the Cup Series. The Xfinity Series is off until Texas, and they will run out the last three races, Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead. So as the chase bears down, the Truck Series starts their round. Matter of fact, I think I forgot to give you the Nationwide Series. So, we'll get more into that next week. They are off this next week, so back on them. Then we can get a couple of drivers in because they're busy doing other stuff. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Join us again next week for another wrap-up of an exciting track to watch, Martinsville. Have a good day and good racing. See you all. Bye now.